Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Don't panic.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song. Just take a look around you. My God, it's all so boring. Podcasts, don't talk to me about podcasts.
Hey everybody, this is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport.
Episode number 42! And we don't have anything super special for this episode, but, you know, we'll put in our little tributes to Hitchhiker's Guide here and there.
Yes.
We'll let Flat 29 do that more on their episode number 42, because Douglas Adams belongs to them.
Okay. I love that because they're British, we automatically assume that they're into all British science fiction-y,
they
fandom-y things.
It's
anyway, get on that, you guys. Okay, time for a podcast of some kind that we're going to record for you.
We normally do it on Tuesdays, but we didn't this Tuesday, as Luke will explain why in a minute. So we're doing it on a Sunday, which is not terribly convenient for either of us because it, infringes on our very active social life. So we're going to try to keep our recording of our voices to about an hour and then add in the songs, and then hopefully I'll still make it to go see Bridesmaids tonight with Josh.
Yes. And Sarah and I are going to go see X-Men First Class later. So,
which is awesome!
I still haven't seen Hangover 2. I've heard it's not that great, but whatever.
Okay.
I'll judge that for myself when I see it. Anyway, what's new in Luke's life? Well, I went to a Cubs game with Sarah and my mom and her boyfriend Pete, and that ended up not being the cool experience I wanted it to be. I was doing it because I had gotten the free tickets, and I wanted to basically share this kind of, retro thing from my childhood with Sarah, because my dad used to take me to games all the time. And we figured picking a game in late May would be good weather-wise. And it totally wasn't. It was cold. It was, misty, rainy, pissy kind of weather. We sat there for the first, seven innings of the game, and then they called it on a rain delay just before they would have sung Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which really annoyed me and bummed me out. But, not the end of the world. I just kind of feel like I need a do-over with that. So at some point I want to get tickets for a Cubs game, during the day in the summer and, have it be a shiny, happy experience. But, it was nice getting a little bit of quality time with my mom and Pete. Oh my God, Pete. So Pete, he's not stupid. He's very smart. But he just has this manner about him that makes him sometimes unintentionally hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So like we got on the subway and... when you get on the Metro train or whatever it is, it's like you're kind of like grabbing whatever seats you can, and sometimes you're sitting next to people you don't know or whatever. So when we first sat down, Pete's sitting next to this, woman who we don't know, and just kind of casually talking to people all around us, and then a bunch of people leave except for the woman sitting next to Pete, so that we kind of all gather around Pete. So Pete is just like talking, and he's like raising his voice as the... noise gets louder from the train.
Yeah.
Just talking about stupid stuff like, hey, Sarah. Sarah? Okay, I thought she could hear me.
She declines to appear on your podcast again.
Because I'm trying to remember what Pete was talking about, but it was just...
Should we pause it?
Yeah, let me pause it. Yeah, so Pete's like starts talking about word usage, and I can't remember exactly what it was, so I'll make something up. But basically, as the train noise gets louder, dunk, 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 whatever, as we go through tunnels, he's just like,
So you're not on the Metro, you're on the L.
The L, yes.
That's totally different.
That's what I meant to say.
Okay.
And so he's like, so kids are saying, and he's just like yelling really loudly so that me and Sarah can hear him talk, and there's this woman right next to him, and it was, I don't know, it was just a really ridiculous situation. It would seem funnier if I could remember what the hell he said, damn it.
Anyways.
But yeah, but that's just Pete, and that was hilarious. So I got up the...
old people are funny, even old people that we know.
The Thursday morning of the day I was leaving to drive to Kansas City, I got up at like 7 in the morning, got showered and shaved and put on a suit, and went to this hotel nearby here because this new casino was opening in Des Plaines. I had sent them some information from their vendor inquiry page saying I was interested in becoming a vendor doing caricatures there. They sent me an email saying they're having a vendor fair from 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at this hotel. So it's a Hyatt, and I thought it was the Hyatt by the convention center, and it turns out it's not the Hyatt by the convention center, it's the Hyatt like a mile up the road.
So you were late.
So I was a little bit late, but that's not... It's the main thing is they had like a three or four level car structure, parking structure. It was completely, entirely full. All the little parking lots around it were full, and there were about two dozen cars with me prowling the entire, you know, tower and everywhere else trying to find parking to get into this meeting.
So you had a bad feeling about it early on.
Yeah. So I ended up driving under the highway to an office park and parking next to a bunch of other cars so that mine doesn't look conspicuous, and then walking through, you know, misty, pissy rain once again to, you know, in my suit, dragging my drawing board and my big, you know, backpack on wheels there, you know, to get in there, because I'm thinking I'm going to have a meeting, hopefully, with somebody and have to try to impress them. And when I get there, the meeting room it's being held in is so packed with people that it just...
You
literally couldn't walk in. There was, like, people, like, spilling out in the room of the hallway who were just kind of, like, leaning to try to get their head in there to hear what the CEO was talking about. So, you know, that was... I walked in about 8:30 when this guy was finishing up his, you know, speech, which started at 8:15. And then everyone broke into these two different separate hotel room or meeting rooms. And I asked somebody, oh, I do caricatures. Which line am I supposed to be in? And they're like, oh, well, there's food and marketing, so you should be in the marketing line. So I get in the marketing line with a bunch of other, you know, much older, much more professional-looking people than me, and waited to get all the way up to the front for like a half hour. I got up to the front, and I said to the guy, hi, my name is Luke. I do caricatures, and I've done it at a casino in the past, blah, blah, blah. And I get through about a sentence of that, and he says, oh, well, we're strictly a 21 and up casino. We really don't want any kid appeal of any kind there, so we're not interested in having caricatures.
And,
so
yeah.
So basically...
I already knew this story, as the listeners can tell.
So basically, you know, they didn't bother to read any of the things that people sent them through their vendor inquiry page. They just sent that email to everybody. So they basically wasted my time, you know, getting me up super early on an important day, you know, and you know, I wore a goddamn suit for these people. The least they could have done is read through all these things in advance and said, oh, this isn't with what we want. We'll email this person and tell them, you know, thank you for applying, but we're not interested.
Well, they're,
you know,
too important to actually read anything that anyone sends them. They just want everyone to come to them.
So that was kind of a fail. I was hoping that it would be nice to have, you know, a casino stand, you know, within a mile or two of my house. But, well.
Then you spent several hours helping me record a song, and then you went to Kansas City, which I'll talk about later, and then you went to Kansas City, which you'll talk about later.
Yeah, and then got a chance to go see Al in concert, and Sarah and Ken came along.
And Steph.
And Steph. and I'm very happy I was able to work what little magic I have in this area to get Ken to come backstage and get to meet Al and get a picture with
him.
He'd
met Al before, but he... had failed to secure the photo in the past, and this time the photo is secured. I was looking at a version of the photo last night.
And it's a super high-quality photo, so I'm happy about that. And then Stephanie visited me for a couple of days because she came to Chicago, you know, made all that effort to come out. She's... She got into... In Madison, one of the streets there was, like... down to one lane where there was literally no other lane. It was like a one-way street with construction. Mm-hmm. Some woman in front of her stopped in this lane, decided to start going backwards for no reason. In like a one-way road in a construction zone.
Where there's a bunch of people behind her.
Yeah. But she couldn't see because she's a hippie and she had some big art piece in her back window, so she couldn't even see if there were vehicles behind her or not. So she bumped into the front end of Steph's Neon, and it basically seems to have messed up the radiator. So now...
What a fucking cunt.
So basically, Steph had to apply to, insurance, you know, file for insurance and stuff, and they basically are going to consider her vehicle probably a total loss. Because it's a 14-year-old Neon, it's got 100,000 miles on it, and, you know, the vehicle itself is probably only worth a few hundred, and fixing the radiator would probably be like 600 or 700.
What a fucking bitch!
So now Steph, who just started going to college again, has to figure out how she can finance to get a new vehicle somewhere so that she can, like, live her life.
Holy shit!
So,
she's going to have to get a beater.
Yeah. So, you know, at least she had a few days of fun because she and I walked around a Millennium Park yesterday. It was the first time I ever went there specifically to walk around Millennium Park. And
wow.
We walked to Buckingham Fountain and I got a picture of myself in front of it in the exact same angle of the opening credits of Married with Children. So that was cool. And then yesterday I had an interesting and very long day. To sum up, I got up at 6:30 in the morning so I could go attend a Weight Watchers meeting hosted by Jack, the person that Carrie who wants to have his babies.
He's gay.
But you still want to have his babies because
no,
he's awesome.
He's just my hero,
okay.
That's all.
And Ken met me there for that, and that was, you know, an interesting experience. I need to think about it and talk about it with Sarah and stuff. After that, I came home and mowed the lawn. After that, I went to Ed DeBevick's and drew caricatures for a few hours. Then I went to a gig at a park in the middle of Chicago, for which the woman did not give me a specific address. She just said it was in a field house in the park just south of, like, Caldwell on Central. So I got to the area, and she never gave me her cell phone number either. So I was literally driving around the park trying to find a party. And I got to this one, I walk up to it, I'm like, it's for like some kid's first birthday party. I'm like, did you guys hire a caricature artist? They're like, no. So I managed to find the party and do that party and get paid. And then I went to Key Lime Cove. And then after Key Lime Cove, Carrie's like, come over to Matt and Tara's house and say happy birthday to Tara. So I did. So I was up for like...
Forever.
You know, 6:30 a.m. till 2 a.m., at least. So this morning I slept in late and it felt really nice to do that. So anyway, now we move on to talking about Carrie and her new song, because that's all she's done in the past two and a half, 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. I made a new song called Thor's Silver Hammer. I encourage you to listen to episode 51 of the Funny Music Podcast and listen to me talking about it. I think it's pretty interesting. I'm not going to rehash everything here. Mm-hmm. Because that's what the Funny Music Podcast is for. So go listen to that. You'll hear Luke on there too.
Yes.
And Devo Spice and Chris Mezzalesta. You know, I really enjoyed Thor and I made a Beatles parody and you'll get to hear it after I'm done talking.
Okay. How much more talking are you going to do?
I went on a fucking trip in the last 2.5 weeks. You don't think I have anything to talk about? You get to talk about mowing the lawn, but I don't get
you,
to talk about my trip.
I asked you earlier.
I said I would remember. I said I would remember. I said I can remember what I did in my life.
Alrighty.
Christ.
Go.
I went to Minnesota last weekend for Memorial Day weekend to visit the fam. I'll try to touch on highlights. First of all, I went total Foursquare horror mode. That was kind of the thing I was looking forward to the most as well, was doing that. So as soon as I got to the O'Hare Airport, I'm checking into O'Hare. Okay, now I'm in Concourse C. I'm checking into Concourse C. Okay, now we're at gate 19E. I'm checking into 19E. Okay, now I'm at the Estes, like, news thingy to buy a soda. Okay, I'm checking in here. You know, the only thing I didn't check into at the airports were the restrooms and anything and everything else that I went to at the airports I checked into because I wanted to kick Dr. Don's ass in Foursquare.
I didn't
say Facebook earlier, did I? I meant Foursquare. And
the only place you didn't check into was a mental asylum.
Exactly. So I went Foursquare crazy because I wanted to be Dr. Don, my Foursquare nemesis. So, by the end of the day, I already had more Foursquare points than him. and I was way behind him at the beginning of the day. And we flew to Minnesota. We checked into a Holiday Inn in Bloomington. And I was really excited because I had room number 427. It wasn't any of the Holiday Inns where MarsCon ever has been. That night we had to deal with this whole crisis because my mother-in-law didn't have air conditioning and she lives in Casa Grande, Arizona, and the temperature was, over 100 degrees in the house. So we had to deal with that whole crisis for a couple hours that night to try to make sure her and her cat would have an air-conditioned hotel to go stay in because the fucking air conditioner people couldn't be bothered to fix it until the Tuesday after Memorial Day. And actually, they didn't fix it till Wednesday. So, you'd think in Arizona you'd be able to consider that enough of a crisis to get her done, but apparently not. Hmm. So the next day, the next morning, we drove over to my grandparents' house, Grandma and Grandpa Hazelman, my father's parents. I was unable to see my dad on this trip because that was my one chunk of time that I had reserved for my dad's side of the family. But my dad, unfortunately, a friend of his passed away, and he had to go to the funeral, memorial service, all that kind of stuff that day, and so he couldn't join us. But me and Josh had a really nice time with my grandma and grandpa. We went to Perkins. is it Perkins? Fuck. I think it was Perkins. It's definitely not Denny's. And Josh was joking about how only old people go to Perkins. And I was like, that's not true. I used to go to Perkins with my mom when I was a kid and blah, blah, blah. And we get there and at every single table, there's at least one senior citizen, if not entirely literally every table in a mostly full restaurant had at least one senior citizen, usually more. So apparently Perkins is in fact the place where old people go. And then we went back to grandparents' house, had lunch there. We drove through torrential rain and hail to get to Sandstone, Minnesota, halfway between the Twin Cities and Duluth, and stayed with my grandpa Dalby up there and my mom up there. And the next day, we had a really fun day because me and Josh and my mom went to Duluth, Minnesota. Have you ever been to Duluth? You probably know if you had been.
Is it off 94? Or 90?
It's off of 35. It's not off of 94 at all.
Oh, okay. I may have been...
It's not a suburb. It's in the northern part of the state.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Well, then no. If it's on 35 north of the Twin Cities, then I
way
have
north.
Been to it.
Way north.
Yeah.
No, Duluth, Minnesota is right up next to Lake Superior. This is where this is the town off of which the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald occurred, in the Lake Superior, and if you'd been there, you'd know it because it's the fourth largest city in the Twin Cities, and that's
Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's the fourth largest city.
Yes,
it's
the fourth largest city in Minnesota. That's Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomington, which is actually just a suburb of Minneapolis, and then Duluth is fourth largest, and it's definitely a city. Would you knock it off, for God's sake? Slurp, slurp, slurp. I think I'll go record a podcast. Burp, slurp. Okay.
Hey, this ain't the big book of everything.
No, it certainly isn't. Anyways.
Maybe we should go make an appearance on the Big Book of Everything.
We already did.
Oh.
Done. It's already up. It's already up. Go listen to the episode of Big Book, Flat 29's Big Book of Everything on crime.
Yes. Damn, those limeys are fast.
Yes. So, anyways, Duluth, Minnesota is a legitimate city, but it's super, super, super hilly, and there's... water everywhere, and it's like tons of factories and tons of gigantic ships. And in New Josh, it's really pretty, really, really pretty up there and really cool. It's kind of got like, I don't know, a little touch of San Francisco, a little touch of Flagstaff, Arizona. There's a lot of hippies up there. It's nothing like the Twin Cities at all. Josh had never seen it. I really wanted him to see it. My mom had only been there. She was able to count three other times in her entire life that she's ever been there, which is, you know, she's lived in Minnesota all her life, so it's kind of weird. But we had a lot of fun up there. We went to an amazing restaurant that was called the New Scenic Cafe, and we had just, oh, God, awesome food, and they had this awesome garden and this awesome view of Lake Superior. And we found the Starbucks, OMGs, that was a big achievement. And then we walked around the pier and, you know, we got to see the bridge that raises up. It's not like the ones in the movies where it opens in the center and goes up with each side at an angle. The bridge just literally raises up. The whole thing raises up. The one time I got to see it really up close, it held up the traffic on both sides for, you know, like 15 minutes because a single sailboat was coming through. and it had like this, like, you know, huge cement counterweight on each side. And Josh was just like totally in awe and really loved that, seeing that. And we got t-shirts and magnets, and so it's kind of like a vacation within a vacation, because, you know, we don't really go to Minnesota to go on vacation. We either go there to see family or we go there to go to conventions, but we don't really go there to go on a vacation. But our day trip to Duluth was really a vacation. And then the next day was our anniversary, and we said goodbye to my fam. We got to go to the infamous Khan's Mongolian Barbecue for our anniversary dinner.
Lucky!
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh my God. And and then we went home. And then, speaking of our anniversary, we've exchanged gifts. It's a whole funny story regarding that. I wish I had time to tell you, but I'll just tell Luke some other time. The main gift that I gave Josh was a SodaStream soda maker, which is awesome, because Josh loves seltzer water. So rather than wasting bottles and cans and boxes and bottles and cans and boxes so that he can get a seltzer water fix, we put tap water in a bottle and squirt some bubbles into it. And, you know, voila, you have tap water, and it's easy and awesome and is totally going to pay for itself pretty quickly and then some. And plus, of course, we have a bunch of different kinds of sodas that we can mix into there, so we're still trying all those out. And he gave me, which I confess I haven't taken it out of the box yet, but he gave me a piano keyboard. I want to call it a piano because it's such a fancy keyboard that it's meant to behave like a piano.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Basically for people who can't afford either the money for a real piano and or the space. I'm sure I'll be able to record with it, but it doesn't really have like a million different sounds on it like what you think of with a keyboard. I think it only has like a couple different piano sounds. And it, like, you know, just like a real piano, when you press harder on it, it's louder. And when you press lightly on it, more lightly, it's softer. And basically the idea is that I'm going to get back into playing piano and hopefully get proficient at it one day, because I've always wanted to be. So that was an amazing, 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 wonderful gift. And other things have happened. I've seen movies. I've been in other songs that aren't mine and blah-zitty blah. But, you know, well, blah, blah, blah. Glossed over. Moving on.
So, yeah. Moving on, we're going to play our first song, which is the new song by Carrie Dalby.
Featuring the talents of Luke Sienkowski, Sarah Trice, and Ben Stahl of Insane Ian and the Musicians, and, of course, Juan Mellon from the Boobles doing the mixed down and instrumentation.
Yay! So here it is, Thor's Big Silver Hammer by Carrie Dalby.
Jane was quizzical, practiced astrophysical science in her van, till it ran into to a buff blonde god. Oh, 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 oh. Thor and Loki had defied their gold king Odin, dead invading Jotunheim. Can we end this cold war between us? Low, oh, oh, fee. But as he calls Thor little princess, Thor's hand begins to rise. Bang, bang, Thor's big silver hammer came down on his head. Mjolnir, Thor's big silver hammer made several frost giants dead.
How dare you threaten the son of Odin with such a puny weapon?
What? He was freaking me out.
Stop. Hammer time!
Thor lost his power and his hammer for an hour while banished here on Earth. Jane has matrimonial bed thoughts. Ow, 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 ow. Gimli, Legolas, Jackie Chan, and Xena just want Thor to be free. The robot disagrees and he tells them so. Oh, oh, oh. But as Miss Portman's kissing his lips, we check out his behind. Bang, bang, Thor's big silver hammer destroyed that lead head. Clang, clang, Thor's big silver hammer killed non-stark Iron Man dead.
God, I hope you're not crazy.
This mortal form has grown weak. I need sustenance!
How can you eat an entire box of Pop-Tarts and still be this hungry?
Do not mistake my appetite for apathy.
This drink, I like it.
More!
No more smashing.
I say, Thor, that hammer of yours is first class. By Odin's beard, looking after these children of Earth verily is adventures and babysitting.
Back in Asgardton, Loki's playing Slytherin. Thor gets quite annoyed. Loki's causing many unpleasant scenes. Sibling rivalry competing for the dynasty. Loki threatens Jane. Thor tries to avenge her sanctity. Oh, 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 oh. When Loki dabbles in cold genocide, Thor seems to lose his mind. Silver hammer destroyed that by frost. Oopsie, thanks to Thor's big clamor, that bridge to Earth was lost.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoever wields this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
Your ancestors call it magic, but you call it science. I come from a land where they are one and the same.
This is going on Facebook.
Silver
hammer!
Yeah, we can tell your hammer. That's pretty obvious.
Okay, so I'm going to try to hustle through talking about Conquest and my trip to Kansas City.
Because I really want to go see Bridesmaids.
Okay. So I haven't been back to Kansas City. I lived there from 1992 to 2000. I went back to visit Kansas City on at
least... I didn't realize you lived there for 8 years.
Yes, I moved there...
I knew you were there for college and a little bit after,
Well, yeah, the first two summers of college, I went home. The third summer, I decided to stay in Kansas City because by then I had discovered the Dr. Demento show and I did not want to leave the city because I could not miss a single episode from that point on.
So when you went to visit your family, you'd do it on weekdays? Really?
Or I would time my drive home so that I would get back in time to hear the show.
Oh, dear God.
You have to remember, this was pre-internet, you know, easy access to the information.
I know.
So, you know, I didn't know where else I could hear the show. Anyway... So, yeah, 1992 to 2000, I had started making comedy music, on a professional level in 96. I started making it at an amateur level in 93. So my comedy music career was kind of born in Kansas City, more or less. Besides going to Kansas City Art Institute there and getting my degree in illustration, I also was on the Comedy Sports Improv team.
Yes.
Just before I left, they changed their name to Comedy City, basically because they didn't want to have to pay royalties back to Comedy Sports anymore. So it was a bunch of you know, upper management sleight of hand bullcrap that I felt had nothing to do with me. So I always considered it comedy sports, but, you know, anyway, they're Comedy City now. And I had a stand at a casino out in Kansas City after I graduated. In 96, I spent a summer working at a theme park where I learned the caricature style. And then after that, I broke out on my own and used my entertainment contacts to figure out how to get a caricature stand set up at Station Casino. And I drew there for, you know, three and a half years. So I spent, you know, like Gary said, I spent 8 years of my life in Kansas City. So
wow.
That was a significant part of my life. And not having been back there since sometime in 2002... it was, you know...
Wow.
I had been like...
So you've been gone for 9 years.
Yeah. So I had been kind of building it up in my mind, like, you know, for years, like, oh, when I finally get a chance to go back to Kansas City, it's going to be epic and incredible and blah, 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 and I'm going to go to Comedy City and see all my old friends there and, you know, the triumphant return, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, so I left town much later than I wanted to on Thursday because I was... helping Carrie record her song, which I'm very glad I did.
And I'm very glad you did, too, and
yeah.
You're very generous of your time that day and not bitchy, even.
So when I got to the town, got to the hotel, which was easy to get to now that they've built this awesome new highway that I wish had been there when I lived there. Highway 71 basically goes from downtown Kansas City to the southeast corner of the city where the awesome mall was that I went to all the time.
Okay.
So, and it was also near to where the carriage house was where me and Trisha and Jason lived. So it would have been incredibly convenient for that highway to have existed while I lived there.
FYI, I've only been in Kansas City a few times, but I do have some special memories there, including that being the first time I met listener Randy Porter in person.
Cool.
So Kansas City is pretty awesome.
So I checked into the hotel and my first thought was, well, I have business I have to get done at Kinko's and, you know, that involves making new signage for my merch table. So I better find a 24-hour Kinko's. And then I got in my car and without really being able to help myself, I started driving to the old Westport area where I used to hang out. But it was at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the economy happening, so many businesses have closed over the past decade. So it felt like I was playing some kind of video game that I used to play, but now this is the new expansion pack where it's a post-apocalyptic world taken over by zombies. So I'm just like...
Wow,
I'm like, this area, it's like so familiar. I know where I'm supposed to go, but it looks like a desolate wasteland and,
the bleak,
you know,
barren tarmac of...
So yeah, something like that.
Wow.
So yeah, at least that was my first impression of it driving around at night. And after circling the neighborhood a few times, I actually pulled up in front of the apartment that I used to live in on 36th Street where I first got my cat Judy. So I just kind of sat there and, you know, looked at it from the outside. I'm like, well, I better not hang around here too long or
something goofy's going on.
You know, A, somebody will call the police because I'm a stalker, and B, I've had people hang out at my house in that neighborhood and then people got stuff stolen from their car. So,
yeah.
But it's like after driving around for a bit, I just hit this point where I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to head back to the hotel and get some sleep. I'm not going to drive all the way out to the outskirts of town just for the sake of trying to get this done tonight. You know, I already had a long day. Like I said, I got up and went to a stupid meeting of Fail and, you know,
yeah,
in a suit and then helped you record.
You'd been
a song
up early.
So,
yeah.
So, went to bed, got up, went to the Plaza, which is the rich area just south of the area I lived in, just south of my college. Drove around there and looked a bit, found the Kinko's, went in and got my signage made. I didn't really have much time to do anything else. I think I drove up and down that same neighborhood again in the daylight just to see what was up. I discovered that my comic shop that I used to go to still existed. That made me really happy to find out that at least one business survived, and it was the comic shop. Got back to the hotel, and at that point, you know, I pretty much spent, you know, the rest of the weekend at the con because I was a guest of honor. That's what I was there to do. So, I set up my merch table in the dealer room, you know, hung out there Friday night, did opening ceremonies. There were hundreds of people there for opening ceremonies, and It was nifty and fun. And then 2 hours later, it was time for my concert to start in the same room. We told everyone, hey, my show's in here at 9. There were 10 people gathered in a little group towards the front. So I got out my camera, my phone camera, and I took a step back to get a nice wide shot of it, took a picture of it, and then immediately twit-picked it with the caption, Kansas City, are you ready to rock?
I didn't see that. I haven't been keeping up with Twitter lately or Facebook.
So here's what happened is that basically there's this mall near, you know, connected to the hotel via this walkway system they call the Link. So I think what happened, or at least everyone told me what seemed to have happened, is that as soon as opening ceremonies ended, everyone's like, oh, we better go get food. So they all walked through the Link over to the mall so that they could go to the food court and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I did get...
You had a bad time slot, though.
Yeah, so as my show went on, because I did an hour and 40-minute show.
Wow.
So as the show went on, people started showing up. Here, look at the picture.
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
And here's the other ironic part is that they had a really great stage, and they actually had one of those partition walls built in, so it was, or, you know, curtains, so it was like...
You had a backstage area?
I had an onstage Heidi backstage area to do my costume changes with, and I actually, because I hadn't been to Kansas City in 9 years, I planned a show where it was going to be the greatest hits of my career, and I brought back all the costumes for, like, What's Up Spock and Stealing Like a Hobbit and
I didn't know you were
going to
do that.
So, you know, I'm very glad that Kyle Hudson and his significant other showed up. They had driven several hours out from somewhere in Kansas to come see the show. So in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, goddammit, I'm doing an awesome show for Kyle Hudson because he came all this way to see this show. So by the end of the thing, the room was pretty, you know, well, it was pretty sporadically full. There were at least 50 people, if not more, in the room by the time the show ended.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I just kind of felt like, wow, I'm the media guest of honor, and this is how many people showed up for my show when it was scheduled to start at 9 p.m. So,
aww.
You know, but, you know, they did have a room party scene and a halfway decent... Consuite. So then Friday night, by the time I got, you know, the show was finished up by, you know, I got out of the room by like 11, I went back up to my room, and I felt the need to repack my props. I started calling around to pizza places because I'm like, screw it, I need food, I need it delivered because I need to spend some time working on packing up my stuff again because I don't want to just leave it a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I called, like, you know, the main chains, like Pizza Hut, Papa John's, whatever. None of them were available. So, for the first time ever, I'm pretty sure, for the first time ever, I ordered room service.
It's not the first time ever.
Well, I don't know.
I stayed in a lot of hotels with you over the years, and I think I must have ordered room service breakfast once or twice.
Well.
Knowing me.
Yeah, probably. But this is, I looked through their little book of... you know, room service stuff, and I noticed they had a page for pizza, and it was kind of set up to look like, you know, it was its own separate pizza restaurant thingy as a way to fool stupid people who aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
So I ordered a pizza, so I, you know, I got food, and then I hung around a bit. Saturday morning, got up, you know, set up the table. Oh, that was another weird thing. They had scheduled me for panels that they didn't really inform me about.
Oops.
So, like, on Friday, just before... like, as the dealer's room was about an hour to close, I'm like, oh, I'll flip through this paraphernalia that lists off things. And I noticed, like, oh, there's a Doctor Who panel starting right now that I'm supposed to be on. So I just kind of threw a sheet over my table and went to the Doctor Who panel.
Uh-huh.
And then Saturday I did do a panel called Dr. Demento Is Still on the Air.
Cool.
And that had a pretty decent crowd there of, like, maybe 20 people and... you know, it was me and this other...
So for a panel, it's a big crowd, not for a concert.
Yeah, for a panel, it's a... and,
just to clarify for the non-convention goers.
Yes. And then this other Filk dude who's... I forgot his... I think his real name is Alex, but he Filks under the group name The Lone Gunman. And he was there as my co-panelist. There were supposed to be a couple other people there on the panel, but they flaked, apparently.
Well, or were not informed.
Yeah, exactly. So, So I just talked with them for an hour or so about, you know, Dr. Demento's show with a funny music scene. I tried to make it not all about me just promoting, the Fump and you know, other, you know, Dementia Radio and blah, 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 blah. But, you know,
it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah. I mean, I actually took my flyers. Actually, I'll show one to you. I had made these flyers for Gen Con last year to help list off where all of the comedy music related events were happening.
Yeah.
But now that, you know, I'm
speaking of Gen Con, I'm almost for sure not going to be able to go. Okay. I think I mentioned that to you already.
So I took the flyers and I made a new cover for it that says,
"What's Luke plugging now?" That's awesome.
So, "What's Luke plugging now?" And then a picture of me holding up the license plate and says, "A convenient flyer filled with info about stuff that Luke Ski wants you all to know about. Luke Ski's website, The Fump, Luke and Carrie's Bad Report, Cirque du Soleil, Dr. Demento Show, Dementia Radio, MarsCon, Dementia Track, art by Luke Ski." So, now I have made a bunch of these to hand out at cons so that I can...
I was at Gen Con. I don't remember that.
Well, it was... A, it was green, and secondly, this was like a... print out of, like, here's the funny music stuff happening at Gen Con this year.
Oh, so you just changed it.
Yeah, so I just changed the cover to this.
Okay.
And made it orange instead. So, anyway, yeah, did that panel. Saturday evening, I walked around that mall I mentioned because it was a mall I used to hang out at. It's connected to, like, one of the big Hallmark printing facilities where they make Hallmark cards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting walking around there, seeing what had changed, you know, got some food at the food court, and then went back. Saturday night was the Masquerade, and I performed Grease Wars there, because it was the Masquerade,
yeah.
It was a, you know, an actual big audience, and it was a very cool experience, because I actually was able to hear people laughing at jokes, because, you know, it's like, if they haven't heard it before, it's still new and funny to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people really dug that, and then after that, they needed me to stall for time a little more, so I did You Might Be a Trekkie. So,
okay.
You know, so that went well. Then Sunday I got up, you know, dealer room, blah, 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 and, you know, sold some stuff. And then, oh, I got to use Square for the first time.
Your appy thingy, yeah, for credit cards?
Yeah, the new app with the plug-in gizmo, so I can take credit cards at my table, and I'm very happy to report that it works.
Yay.
So I took credit card sales that weekend, and it was deposited into my bank account, you know, by like, well, there was, since it was Memorial Day, it was probably like Tuesday or Wednesday by the time it got actually deposited.
Uh-huh.
But still, you know, just the fact that A, I didn't have to wait 2.5-3 weeks, and B, I only got charged like, you know, 3% instead of 12%.
And C, you just go swipey swipey.
Yeah, it's like super instant ninja magic. It's awesome. So that was all cool. So then after the con ended, I kind of said, all right. I know there's a dead dog party later that I kind of want to make an appearance at, but it's still daylight. What can I see while it's still daylight here in Kansas City? So I just kind of instinctively hopped in my car and drove to the casino where I used to draw and have my stand.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, it's still basically the same place. They still got the video arcade. They still got the movie theater, Kids Quest, the big pavilion. There was a Kansas City chain of restaurants called Winstead's. Burger place, and they had taken that out and put in a Burger King and a Sbarro instead, which was odd. The ice cream place that Jason used to manage is, like, completely gone. Like, they completely obliterated it to build the new entrance for the casino itself.
Yeah.
The Hofbrauhaus, German brew pub with the dueling piano players...
The only reason I know that name is because Mischke mentions it in one of his songs on the Best Of discs.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had them in Kansas City.
Well, it's a German term, a general term that means, I don't know, it's like the word Rathskeller or something. But that's what it was called when I worked there. So it used to be just have kind of like a 6 foot, 5 or 6 foot wall around it, so it was still very open air. Well, they've like extended the wall up to the ceiling and they turned it into a sports bar, apparently.
Yeah.
But the spot where my stand still, the spot where I drew caricatures from is still there. So I kind of took some pictures of like, here's where my stand used to be.
Yeah.
I was so tempted because the access hallway that leads to, you know, inner parts of the casino where I used to store my stuff was right there. And when I left town, I gave all the caricature stuff to my friend Spencer so that he can continue drawing at the casino if he wanted to. And I have no idea what happened to Spencer or that stuff. Obviously, he wasn't there. But I was so tempted to stick my head down the hallway to see if it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, because I didn't want to get in trouble. So I walked around. I saw the buffet.
Yeah.
It's a different name now, but it's still the same buffet. Because the old casino has a different name now, because it got bought out several years ago. Now it's Ameristar. So they also have one of the Kansas City barbecue places. Arthur Bryant's has a location in there, so I'm like, all right, I'll have an Arthur Bryant's barbecue sandwich, and I feel like at this age I appreciate it a lot more than I did back then.
Oh, you didn't like them?
Well, I didn't realize the cultural significance of the food, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And being with Sarah has helped me appreciate things more, so when it comes to food. So,
yeah.
So I got a sliced pork barbecue sandwich there, and it was oh so yummy and tasty. And then after that, I knew that, you know, obviously with my fascination in movie theaters and seeing movies and stuff, the AMC movie theater chain, their headquarters nationally is in Kansas City. And downtown they built this, like, new super upscale, you know, movie theater. And I'm like, I want to go see a movie at that movie theater just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd like to see a movie too.
I know, I'm trying to get through this. It's not much longer.
6:18.
So I saw Kung Fu Panda 2 there, and I was sitting in the right middle of the theater wearing the 3D glasses, and they had, like, such an excellent sound system so that, like, there was awesome, like, rumbling you could feel when cool things happened, and
mm-hmm.
So that was cool. Went back to the hotel, made an appearance at the Dead Dog, which wasn't too much, and then I went back to my room. Monday, I decided to... Meanwhile, the We Are the Fump track is getting finalized, and I'm having to try to coordinate shit with Devo Spice and Bob Emmett while I'm in Kansas City, and so that was a frustrating thing to have to kind of take a time out from my daylight hours in Kansas City to go to Kinko's and spend literally 2 hours there setting things up, and then I decided to annotate the Fump lyrics with links,
mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
So that was a couple hours out of that day, but... drove around some more and, you know, drove to the first Chipotle I ever ate at. Took a picture of that. just
did kinda, you put that on Twitter, too?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
So I just kind of cruised around the area, stopping at places. I stopped at my college and walked around and basically, you know, kind of breathed it all in. I had made an attempt to get a hold of my friends at the Comedy City Club, which had moved locations, and... nobody responded to me on Facebook to the messages I put up publicly, and I sent an email privately to the guy who runs the place. He never got back to me. I don't know if it's because their website sucks and is wrong or what, but I went to the new location. Nobody was there because it was Monday. I couldn't get there while they were open because I was busy with the con, you know, anytime they were open. So I guess so. It was kind of like, other than seeing the outside of the place, I didn't get to see anything or meet anyone.
Yeah.
Stopping at a CVS pharmacy to look at a map of Kansas City, I kind of said, all right, I need to come up with some kind of game plan so that I can see things I want to see and leave town feeling like I made an effort to do all this shit. So I came to the conclusion, like, well, what was my favorite things to do when I lived here? Go to malls. So I kind of plotted out, I'd already seen Crown Center, because that was where the convention was, I kind of plotted out... like three other malls that I regularly hung out at and a couple other individual businesses that I liked that I wanted to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove south from the plaza to Ward Parkway Mall, which is a mall where my former girlfriend Cassie used to work at TGI Fridays. Found out most of that mall is closed. Like, they closed down most of it so they could rebuild it. They're adding in, like, a Trader Joe's and a bunch of other shit. The AMC movie theater is still there where I saw the Star Wars re-releases. And, you know, but it was just kind of like, all right, nifty. And then I left, got on State Line Road, went down to U.S. Toy Company, where I got many of the items that became my props and, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and... I found the building, they're still there, but they were closed because it was Memorial Day, so I was bummed about that.
Oh, the store still exists?
Yeah, actually, there's a branch of it in Chicago that I've been to at least once, But the Kansas City store is bigger, so I'm bummed that I wasn't able to go in there and explore. Plus, in the back of that one, they had like a magic shop and ventriloquist dummy shop, mm-hmm. which was really cool, so I'm bummed I couldn't see that.
Yeah.
Then I drove around to another mall in Oak Park? Oak Ridge? I forgot. It's Oak something. Oak Park, I think. That is like, you know all the other malls that like went out of business? This is the mall that, you know, is in the super rich part of town and is thriving like a motherfucker. So I was walking around that mall just checking out like, oh, it exists and functions and has maybe at least a few stores I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah.
You know, so it was cool to see that at least something didn't, you know. Then I traveled to the exact polar opposite of it. In the southeast corner of the city, I went to Bannister Mall, a mall that was so cool that it was almost the place where Kevin Smith filmed the movie Mallrats.
Wow.
Basically, the conservative people who owned the mall got a hold of the script and then told him no. So then, he filmed it at the Mall of America instead. So that mall...
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mallrats was filmed...
How did I not know that?
I don't know. Parts of it are filmed in Mall of America. Like
I've actually never seen it all the way through, I don't think.
Well, anyway. So, not only is that mall closed, it's gone. It's demolished. It's a fucking sandpit of flatness. And every other business around it virtually is gone. Wow. I mean, there used to be a Toys R Us there. There used to be, like, back before Walmart Supercenters were everywhere. That was kind of their experimental store. They called it Hypermart. Outside, it had a gigantic sign that said Hypermart painted along the building. And it was huge, and it was open 24 hours a day, and it was glorious. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the building is there, but Hypermart is gone. It was like, I'm like, so wait, this entire fucking section of the city that, you know, it's just the irony. Now that they have a highway from downtown Kansas City out to this corner of the city where the awesome mall is, it's all gone.
Yeah.
There's no point. So it was sad. So I drove out to slightly south to an area where a girl I used to date named Molly used to live. I think her mom actually still lives out there. And once I hit that corner of the city, I got gassed. I'm like, all right, it's time to drive home. But before I drove home, I want to backpedal and tell a short story about Molly. I dated her, I think it was my sophomore year in college. She was a stoner. She kind of helped me get over the whole drug paranoia that, you know, Nancy Reagan had pounded into my head as a kid. Like, oh, stoners aren't evil and they can actually be somewhat productive members of society. Okay, mm-hmm. You know. She basically broke up with me. I went home for the summer for sophomore year or whatever, and she broke up with me by mailing me a letter.
Ugh, so, that's terrible.
Yeah. So, you know, and there were lots of other weird things about her. Like, I had started my first email account, the Juno account, from her computer at her place because mm-hmm. I didn't have one.
Yeah.
And at least on one occasion, somebody had gotten into my account and, like, sent a bunch of weird psycho emails to friends of mine. Not that I had many online at the time, but I was emailing Dr. Demento.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I had to change my password, and I would, you know, for years, I was so fucking naive. It's where I'm like, oh, I don't know how, somebody must have hacked the computer, and I finally figured out later, it was Molly and her stoned friends that did it, you know?
Oh.
It's like, you know, I was such a fucking idiot with women back then, you know? So, you know, so it's like, I got in touch with her again via Facebook a few years ago, and she and I actually talked on the phone at least once, mm-hmm. and we'd occasionally message each other. So, a few days ago, I Facebook messaged her, hey, I'm going to be in Kansas City if you want to hang out or whatever. I'm performing at this con. She messaged me back asking if I could get her and her friends in to see my concert without having to buy a badge.
Mm-hmm.
So the day of the concert, I talked to the con people. They said yes, they could come in and see the show, but they couldn't stay for the rest of the con.
Mm-hmm.
I sent that message to her. Later that same day, she messages me back saying that her appendix has just burst.
Whoa.
Or something, and she had to go to the hospital to have it taken out. And in that same message, she said, I know this sounds like something somebody would just make up to get out of doing something, but, you know, this is really happening, and I feel really sorry that I can't see your show. I wanted to see it.
Okay.
So I messaged her back something about, I hope you feel better. And then on Monday, I messaged her again saying, hey, I'm still in town. Do you want me to come visit you, you know, if you're at home or in the hospital or something? And she never responded. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I drove home. So after I got home a day or two later, I thought to myself, I hope she's okay. And I went to her Facebook to look at her Facebook statuses. None of her Facebook statuses dating back to that Friday mentioned anything about having her appendix burst or going to the hospital.
Well, that doesn't mean she didn't.
If, I don't know. To me, it just kind of seems like, oh, so, you know, really.
You don't know. You shouldn't make assumptions.
I don't know. Just
It could go either way.
So, I don't know. I just, the overall conclusion
why,
is this.
I mean, why would she add that sentence in there if she didn't worry that you were going to think, I don't know.
She hasn't messaged me back from either of those other messages I sent her, so
the appendectomy might not have gone so well. I don't know. She has updated her status.
Yeah, she's posted other stuff since that Friday.
Like
none of it was
like
about
just random stuff.
Yeah,
random thoughts or whatever. Or was she actually telling what she was doing? No, we're not going to read her Facebook on that. I think we're probably talking about her Facebook too much already. She's nobody's Facebook friend but yours.
Okay. Anyway, so the overall thing is, I mean, Conquest was awesome, and I'd happily go back there again. It was profitable. The people were nice. I made some new fans there. I sold merch. You know, Kyle came out. That was awesome. So the following statement has nothing to do with Conquest. This is separate from Conquest. I just kind of feel like this trip helped me realize that, you know, I not that I gave this a lot of thought, you know, in my day-to-day life in the past 9 years, but just that I don't need Kansas City anymore, and Kansas City doesn't need me.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, all right, well, you know, life continues. It's cool to see Clint's Comics is still open, and, you know, it's the city continues to be a neat place. There's now a new awesome downtown entertainment district right off of that AMC theater. You know, it would have been a cool place to hang out had I, you know, still been living here, but you know, overall, it's like nobody from Comedy City gave a shit enough to message me back and say hi, you know, and, you know, Molly either blew me off or, you know, had a severe medical situation. I don't know. It just made me feel like, all right, I no longer have to think of Kansas City as this, like, oh, I'm going to get back there someday and visit and it's going to be awesome. It's like, all right, I've done that. I can move on.
Yeah.
You know, if
okay.
So that's it. So anyway, thanks for listening to my recap of that. Let's get on to another song and the news of the stupid.
Let's play a Marvin song.
Yes.
The one that Dr. D doesn't usually play.
Yes. This is, once again, in honor of episode 42, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference, Marvin the Paranoid Android.
I'm just a robot and I know my place. A metal servant to the human race. I work my can off trying to satisfy. I know they'll disconnect me by and by. Chip on my shoulder made of silicon. My printed circuits like a lexicon. 10 billion logic functions, maybe more. They make me pick the paper off the floor. Solitary, solenoid, terminally paranoid, Marvin. Know what really makes me mad? They clean me with a Brillo pad. A car wash wouldn't be so bad. Life, don't talk to me about life. I'm so depressed I could expectorate. My moving parts are in a solid state. I want to rust in peace, switch off and lie in that great junkyard in the sky. Solid solitary, solenoid, terminally paranoid Marvin. Nothing left to be enjoyed, every diode, rheumatoid Marvin. Outer alloy, inner void Marvin. Happiness has been destroyed.
And now it's time for
by Devo Spice. Visit devospice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
This story submitted by Blasted Bill Putt. If there's one thing we love at News of the Stupid, it's sweet, ironic justice served up huge for all the world to see. Like this story from Florida, which involves a North Carolina-based bank. Instead of Bank of America foreclosing on some Florida homeowner, the homeowners had sheriff's deputies foreclose on the bank. It started 5 months ago when Bank of America filed foreclosure papers on the home of a couple who didn't owe a dime on their home. The couple said they paid cash for the house. The case went to court, and the homeowners were able to prove they didn't owe Bank of America anything on the house. In fact, it was proven that the couple never even had a mortgage bill with Bank of America to pay. Bank of America was ordered by the court to pay the legal fees of the homeowners, Maureen Nyergers and her husband. The judge said the bank wrongfully tried to foreclose on the Nyergers' house. So, how did it end with the bank being foreclosed on? After more than 5 months of the judge's ruling, the bank still hadn't paid the legal fees, and the homeowner's attorney did exactly what the bank tried to do to the homeowners. He seized the bank's assets. They've ignored our calls, ignored our letters. Legally, this is the next step to take to get my clients compensated, attorney Todd Allen told CBS. Sheriff's deputies, movers, and the Nyergers' attorney went to the bank and foreclosed on it. The attorney gave instructions to remove desks, computers, copiers, filing cabinets, and any cash in the teller's drawers. After about an hour of being locked out of the bank manager handed the attorney a check for the legal fees. As a foreclosure defense attorney, this is sweet justice, says Allen.
The rest of our stories this week were submitted by Kyle Hudson. When can arrogance turn into stupidity? How about when you commit a major crime and then have a depiction of it tattooed across your chest, which in turn gets you convicted? Authorities relied on a chest tattoo that depicted the murder scene to apprehend and convict a California gang member for a deadly shooting. Anthony Garcia, 25, was convicted of first-degree murder for the 2004 shooting at a liquor store in Pico Rivera. He could face life in prison for the crime when he is sentenced later this month. Garcia had avoided arrest for 4 years until he was picked up by police for driving with a suspended license in 2008. Because Garcia appeared to be an active member of the Rivera 13 gang, police snapped pictures of his tattoos along with his mugshot. Detective Sergeant Kevin Lloyd was looking through pictures of gang members' tattoos for leads on another crime when one image looked eerily familiar. Lloyd had worked as a sergeant at the Pico Rivera Sheriff's Station when the murder happened in January 23, 2004 at Mr. Ed's Liquor Store. I was working on another case about this gang and looking for other examples. I just see that picture and something struck me, Lloyd said. It looked like a murder from way back when. Lloyd followed his hunch, driving to the liquor store named on the tattoo and pulling the old case file. Garcia's tattoo captured the night of the shooting, from the Christmas lights outside the liquor store to the bent light post in the store's parking lot to the convalescent home called the Rivera next door to the liquor store. The scene shows a chopper spraying bullets on a victim. Garcia's gang nickname is Chopper. The victim, John Juarez, is depicted as Mr. Peanut. The peanut is commonly used as a symbol of a rival gang in Pico Rivera, Lloyd said. The crime scene is under a tattoo on Garcia's neck that reads, Rivera Kills. The tattoo is so accurate that Lloyd called it a crime scene sketch and a confession. Garcia's tattoo artist even matched the trajectory of the bullets, Lloyd said, even the peanut guy. He's standing on the corner, he gets shot in the head, and you can see the shot in the head, Lloyd said. He lays right there in the liquor store. Garcia was arrested in October of 2008 and charged with the murder. He reportedly confessed to officers posing as gang members in the jail. Lunsford said Garcia spent years perfecting the tattoo. A 2005 booking photo of him from an unspecified charge shows just the chopper shooting bullets at Mr. Peanut. A 2006 booking photo of him from another unspecified charge adds the liquor store, and his 2008 booking photo from the suspended license charge shows the complete scene. Garcia's getaway driver, gang member Robert Armijo, pleaded guilty to the crime and testified against Garcia. He is facing a 20-year prison sentence, police said. No word yet if Garcia has had the words "stupid as fuck" tattooed across his forehead.
Three drunk revelers who set to sea in a small dinghy with only one paddle were rescued recently after drifting in the English Channel for 11 hours, thinking they had sailed to France. Equipped only with a bottle of wine and wearing shorts and t-shirts, the men launched their 7-foot inflatable from the beach at Littlehampton, West Sussex at 9 p.m. one Saturday evening. They were spotted at 8 a.m. the next morning by a bird watcher who saw them waving for help 2 miles out to sea. According to onlookers, the mariners thought they had reached the French coast and greeted their Coast Guard rescuers with bonjour. An RNLI crew picked them up and treated them for hypothermia before taking them to Worthing Hospital. The men have all fully recovered from their ordeal. Their names are not being released, so luckily their occupations as a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker will remain untarnished. Rub-a-dub-dub.
And finally, a newborn baby girl in Israel has been named Like in a tribute to Facebook. Like's parents, Lior and Vardit Adler, gave their daughter the unique name because Facebook had become the icon of today's generation, according to Israel's Haaretz newspaper. If once people gave biblical names and that was the icon, then today this is one of the most famous icons in the world, Lior Adler told Haaretz. The Adlers have a history of giving their children names outside the norm. The couple's two other children are named Honey in Hebrew and Pie, Haaretz said. Despite that, the name Like caught the Adlers' friends by surprise. They simply didn't believe it, Lior Adler told the newspaper. I believe there will be people who will lift an eyebrow, but it is my girl and that's what's fun about it. Like isn't the first child to be named in recognition of the world's most popular social networking website. In Egypt, after 18 days of protests led to the end of President Hosni Mubarak's nearly three-decade reign, Gamal Ibrahim, a man in his 20s, named his daughter Facebook as a way to honor the social network, which was a tool used to mobilize demonstrators there. So far, we haven't come across anyone naming their children Twitter, Tweet, MySpace, or Foursquare, but it may only be a matter of time. Like's grandparents, Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, were unavailable for comment.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Game over, man! Game over!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Okay, skipping ahead. Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
I'm wearing an obnoxiously bright, beautiful pink t-shirt that just says Duluth 1857 on it, and it has a moose. Because moose. 1857 is when Duluth was founded, and mooses are up there.
Yes. So, ignorant stories. You apparently have one.
Yeah, I don't remember which movie I was at, but you know that thing at AMC before the movie where, you know, a little phone rings and then a baby cries and, you know, and then the whole message at the end is silence is golden. In other words, shut the fuck up during the movie.
Yeah.
Someone had, I think someone was talking during the movie and then someone else went, oh God, I don't remember what exactly they did, but they either went, or, you know, fuck, I don't remember exactly what they said, but they said or did something loudly to express their disapproval at the people talking during this thing, which was hilariously ironic because they weren't being silent during the silence's golden preview thingy.
Ah.
I can't fucking remember what they did, though.
I had a situation like that. I went to the midnight showing of Princess and the Frog, and there were these, like, four or five teenagers there who I suspect actually worked for the theater that would not shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get up and scream at them, I've waited 5 years to see this fucking movie! Now shut the fuck up!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna go and see Bridesmaids, and Luke's gonna finish the show.
Let me tell you this really quick.
Oh, okay.
Last night, ignorance character story. I drew a girl. She wanted her name underneath to be Lil Boom Boom. Like L-I apostrophe L Boom Boom.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So that was the cue to the people behind her in line. Oh, he'll write whatever you want there. So the next girl asked me to put as her name Mrs. Bieber.
Nice.
So then this totally adult type couple sits down. They said that they wanted, a husband and wife. They wanted their drawing underneath it instead of their names to say the words "godly marriage." And I kind of had to read "godly marriage." Like yes, G-O-D-L-Y, and then marriage. So I wrote that down, and then as I'm about to start drawing it, they were like, "Oh, can we get our son in here too?" I'm like, "Sure." So they squeeze the son in, and I do the drawing. So after I get done with the three of them, did they want little crosses and little things?
No, all over.
Well, so
little
I got
Mary.
Yeah. So I got done drawing it with the three of them, and then I'm like, "Okay, so you want me to put godly marriage?" And then they both realized, like, "Oh wait, our son is in here now too." So they said, "Well, could you put godly marriage and son?"
Not godly family.
No, not godly family. Godly marriage and son. You know, like Sanford and Son.
That's
or something.
Retarded.
So this is the conclusion.
Leotarded.
This is the conclusion I came to. They must be like a Christian music performing duo, and that's the name of their group, Godly Marriage.
That would be my guess.
That's my theory, is that they're a married two-person Christian rocker group, and that's the name of their group, Marriage and Son.
Yeah.
Because they had to shove their son in there. Anyway.
We'll have to leave immediately if I'm going to get to see Bridesmaids on this beautiful Sunday, so enjoy the rest of the Carrie-less podcast, episode number 42. Sorry.
That's okay.
We'll be back in 9 days.
Here is We Are the Fump. Woo!
There comes a time when a gamer has the fun. When you're still a nerd and still annoyed.
There are cats with macros.
Oh, and sex and drugs and Satan. At least
that's what your parents think.
Except my dad, who needs tech support help again.
There's too much stuff. But still I'm making bacon, just like our neighbor here's on the bedroom floor.
Yeah. Purple.
So save me, Obama. We've got Shakespearean pies.
And almost 100 words for boobs.
We are the Fump, the Funny Music Project. Your track is our 500th song. What did you expect?
If this song don't make sense, just a matter of waste of time,
then go listen to the first 499.
That's only counting one version of Christian Bale's Chipmunk.
And not counting My Name Is Not Ruth Griffin.
Right.
National S Directory.
So let's all go out and kick an emo kid's ass today.
Get a karma jolt
and drink a triple shot.
We are the Fun, and it's our mission
to post more songs, even though God hates comedy musicians.
Sucks to get
so
old.
Give us all a hand.
It's not true that nobody loves the comedy band.
That's a double negative.
When you're the king of con, but find out it's just a dream.
When you're all out of beer and you want a Wilhelm scream.
When you realize all everything's a song.
Join in and sing along.
the showdown of destiny.
We are the funk. My songs are squicker. Involved in cows and Santa Claus.
You've had enough liquor.
Whether it's Guitar Hero or Dig Dug that you play,
it's true, see us for letters across the USFNA.
Burka!
We are the funk.
We are the funk.
We'll take Hakuna Matata
as parody fodder.
Turn that song into one about Cthulhu or Harry Potter.
Avada Kedavra.
Lampoon jet plane tweeting. Or BP oil spill doom.
My cat is a friend of the vacuum cleaner. The way it goes, vroom, vroom, vroom. Hold on, I gotta take this.
We are the fun.
We are the fun.
No, we are the Vikings.
We are the Vikings.
Write you a song about a zombie mom, if that's too you like it.
Twilight, they're spiky.
Vampires,
crazy tunes of kids.
Goddamn, Mark, good shout out.
And hobbits who've had their luck.
Especially if you're an old lady.
Like a pill for when earworms make you queasy. No half-ass rapper, I'm the Mac.
And I'm a PC.
And when the universe is trying to kill Seville, dude, turn to us, cause we got a
positive attitude.
We are the funk, united by shared discontentment. When the radio isn't playing anything demented,
soon we'll be famous with millions, mansions, boats, and cars.
Just like Paul and Storm, Jonathan Colton, and MC Lars. On Thursday night, Dementia Radio, we're casting live all over Dr. Dementia. Mentos 2025. We are the funk, connected by an art form. Love for music that rocks and mocks the norm.
I want some time.
We are the funk.
We are the funk.
Totally senseless.
Totally senseless.
We know that every day is Caturday.
So take my senses.
Come to your senses.
Submit your song to the sideshow, and the next hit could be by you.
Have a peanut butter sandwich.
Bow to the cog.
Bow to the cog.
You bend to our will.
You bend to our will.
And I command that.
Farting Argle.
Of your naked mole rat.
Monroe shot Rudolph. Good grief.
Photoshop my boobles.
Must give me beef.
Oh, come on, I'm not covering all your asses.
We are the fun. We are the fun. The Vikings Music Project. And this is the track. It's our 500th song. What did you expect? This song don't make sense.
We're by the
song. Yeah. Just a waste of time.
I mean, we are.
Go listen to the first 499.
Join the Dementia Revolution.
Rock is for the win.
And bacon.
What am I plugging now? What's at the fump? What's at the fump? I feel like a sofa. All right, at thefump.com this week we have I've Got Some Falling to Do by Lemon Demon, We Are the Fump by The Fump, and Thor's Big Silver Hammer by Carrie Dalby. Yes, go to the Fump, download and listen to them in their full stereo awesome glory. They sound so much clearer from the Fump website and Fump feed, so please do. Also, Everything You Know Is Wrong by Steve Goody, Barney the Purple Ranger by TV's Kyle, Special Day by Dino Mike, Superpowers by Insane Ian, The Dumbest Song on Rock Band by Devo Spice, Lukeski.com, the store where you can get things like Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, Best of 2010, 2-CD set. Or you could completely fucking ignore it, like everyone else seems to be doing. Art by Lukeski.com, please hire me for parties. I need as many as I can. I have things that need to get paid for. like putting out a new album and mortgages and bills and stuff. I also do individual work done through the email for cartoons and chibis and all kinds of things. So check out artbyluksky.com. The Dr. Demento Show, I'm very happy to report, thanks to the support of the listeners of Dr. Demento, the fans of Luksky, etc., my song Snoopy the Dog, for the second month in a row, was number 2 on the top 10 countdown on the Dr. Demento Show. And with that, the fan tallies done by DJ Particle has it at the position of most requested song of 2011 thus far. So thank you very much for putting Snoopy the Dog on top of the pile, on top of the dog pile. And if you would like it to stay top dog in 2011, please continue to go to the Dr. Demento Show's website and request that he play it. That's drdemento.com. And also, while you're there, listen to the show. It's the best freaking show ever. Each episode is 2.5 hours of the best in comedy music from the past 70, 80, 100 years of recorded comedy of every format. So listen to it, for the love of God, for only $2 an episode or $4 for a higher quality stream, 2.5 hours. It's amazing. There's 500 episodes there from the past, you know, 40 years. It's, for the love of God, check it out. You'll be so glad you did. Tour dates, I want to plug in Chicago, a couple of tour dates. My appearance at the Lethal Poetry Presents Words That Kill Return of the Geek show. That's June 16th. In the Chicagoland area, go to lethalpoetry.com/wordsthatkill.html. Or if you can't remember that, just go to my tour dates page and follow the link there at lukeski.com. That same weekend, DuckCon 20, I will be performing in Schaumburg, Illinois at the Hyatt, which is awesome. It's a great hotel. I haven't been there in a while. June 17th through 19th is the convention, duckcon.org, D-U-C-K-O-N.org. My performance is Sunday at 2 p.m., and I'll be hanging out there all weekend, or as much as I possibly can. I'm going to get a dealer table and share it with Tom Smith and others. I have to figure out what my other caricature commitments are for that weekend, but I intend to be at DuckCon as much as I can. So, that's all that. Let's move on to comments, which is going to be weird since Carrie isn't here, but oh well. I will read the comments, and I will provide what I think would be Carrie's responses to them. or not. Let's find out. Captain Nova says, Bacon Tasty is the name of my Luksky cover band. Thank you for allowing me to have my Luksky moment. Also, Pink with a Vengeance is the name of my Carrie Dalby cover band. Thank you, Captain Nova. Bar 1 Scorpio says, It's just a bass, what are you playing? Or what are you playing can kill the momentum of a podcast, especially if you feel the need to make it a segment. One of the more annoying things that drove me away from an anime podcast. But I do listen to one gaming podcast, Talk Radar from GamesRadar.com. They release twice a week and are better known for their sense of humor in podcasts than any serious discussion of the games they review. They have an entire site and several magazines for that. Of Talk Radar's more memorable bits, an exclusive preview of E3 2011, and then he has a YouTube link. Wonder if there's a dodgeball app for it. Speaking of which, I'm noticing a definite guys versus girls thing on that subject. I think even guys that got picked on figured dodgeball was their chance to get a little back. I also just shipped these guys that copy of Cirque du So What I bought off you at PenguinCon. But Bad Rapport already has some great segments aside from your community segment, where feedback goes at the end of the podcast. Your News of the Stupid, and of course your Mutual Tales of Ignorance, a segment that no other podcast has, I might add. Aha. And for that feedback, given the Bad Rapport official obsessions, I thought I should mention a very pink storefront named Nom Nom's Cupcake Factory, and then there's a link to that. Just check out that website. It's one hell of a pink website. And oh, what's in their menu? A maple bacon cupcake? Madness, I say. Our shields cannot repel flavor of this magnitude. I really need to send you a couple examples of News of the Stupid, and I wonder what kind of names you'd get at your caricature stand if you just set up at a Walmart. Good God, what kind of faces? I remember my days as a teen at Kmart before Walmart officially took over that niche of clientele that vaguely resembles something out of Jim Henson's Creature Shop. Well, thank you for that comment, Bar One Scorpio. yeah, dodgeball, somehow, I don't know if I was necessarily good at dodgeball, but I always liked it because I was never one of the ones they'd want to pick off right away, so I'd always end up kind of lurking towards the end of the game, and then I usually was pretty good at, you know, possibly getting somebody out without, you know, before I got out. So, yeah. Wildcard says, first of all, Josh needs to finish that song. Second, Ariel needs to contribute more to the podcast. I didn't hear her meow anything. Ariel's new name, as we've officially decided, is now Abby Normal. So, or just Abby for short. So the cat's name is now Abby. So Abby needs to contribute more to the podcast. I didn't hear her meow or anything. She was meowing earlier, but I don't think we were recording at the time. It's a very cute, high-pitched meow. And then he also says, Luke, I agree. If you don't understand comedy, then you shouldn't be judging a comedy competition. You were robbed, in reference to my tales of performing at Forensics Meets. So, I agree, wild card. Madman on the Loose, that would be Ken, he says, first off, a few annoying facts. The doctor with the celery is Peter Davison, not Davidson, who had the poor timing of following Tom Baker, whose episode Pyramids of Mars was the one Carrie was watching. Thanks for playing the live Larry Miller bit I had the opportunity to see live on stage in the late 80s. I wonder if that ignorant nun would have been more receptive to the bit had you preceded it with a 30-second intro stating you are not a drinker and don't plan to be, and this is why. So, here's the thing. I did have to have an intro at the beginning of the piece. I don't remember specifically what I said, but I'd have to assume whatever I wrote, at least in some way, tried to get that point across, that it was meant to be an anti-drinking thing, and that's why I was performing it. So, I don't know. She was just ignorant. Ken continues. The ums and stammers, I don't mind. It sounded great when Luke and Carrie went together at the end of News of the Stupid. What I found annoying was Luke saying anyway while Carrie was saying anyways. Anyway is the correct one. So, there you have it, Carrie. I got a piece of syntax correct where you did not. So, anyway. Having put many quarters and dollars into slots to play video games only to find buttons, joysticks, steering wheels, pedals, or shift controls not working properly, I find it annoying when little kids play with the game controls in demo mode and worse when they ask for money to play it. I enjoy the result when Sarah gets in the mix as she did during this episode and more frequently on the Fupcast. Hopefully she can provide her insight more often on Luke and Carrie's bad rapport as she blends well with the cast. Well, right now, Sarah is outside planting her new garden. She actually has Abby out there with her, which is cute. Sarah got to, when I went to see Weird Al, we got to meet him. Sarah got to witness me totally fanboy out in front of Al. And it was a really, the situation is a specific story that I don't feel comfortable telling on the podcast. So if you ever see me in person, anyone, ask me about the Weird Al interaction at this concert in St. Charles, and I'll tell you about it. Anyway, moving on. Thank you, Ken. Moving on. Chuck Williams says, and by the way, Chuck Williams, thank you for listening to the podcast. Chuck Williams has been a fan of mine since nearly the very beginning, and there's certain people from that era that I never hear from anymore, and you know, I don't know what's happened to them, but it's nice to know that Chuck is still out there. So, peace out to Chuck. Ugh, smack myself in the face again. Here we go. Chuck says, Luke, your comment about not performing in Columbus, Ohio for a long time reminded me that the last time I saw you perform live was at the Origins Game Fair in 2005, if I recall correctly, when you were promoting Unconventional, which was probably where I first heard Carrie's vocal talents, incidentally. Was that your last Columbus performance? I recall both good and bad in the setup you were given at Origins. Good in having a virtually captive audience in the crowd waiting for the exhibit hall to open. Bad in that the only time they give you an actual sound system to use was when you opened for the Origins Awards. I don't think that was my last Columbus appearance. I believe my last one was OVFF a couple years ago, because they asked me and Tom Smith to Well, they basically asked the Fump to do a concert there, and the only Fumpers who could make it were me and Tom Smith. And since I figured this was probably the only chance I'm ever going to have in my entire life to have a scheduled concert slot at OVFF, I better show up for it. So me and Tom went out there and did the show, and things went well. I would like to go back to OVFF and do another show there in the future, but since I really don't make any money at OVFF, it's kind of hard to justify that, especially when there's lots of other conventions happening near it on the calendar. Oh, God, why am I so tired all of a sudden? Man, Carrie just must fill me with caffeine or something through osmosis. Anyway, thanks again, Chuck. Slightly D says, Carrie, I can admit you've never mentioned Mr. Squirty by name on the podcast before. I would remember that. And out of context, I would have assumed you were referring to something else entirely. Luke, thanks you for playing the five stages of drinking. It's one of my favorites. My high school's was a little different. The staff seemed to spend a lot of time sucking the pole of the drama department instead of the sports department. I can remember teachers actually announcing in class that those who were in the annual musical, an extracurricular event, would have 2 weeks to compete in an assignment instead of one. Or 2 weeks to complete an assignment instead of one. Being a math and science nerd and not a drama nerd, I didn't have the guts to narc on the unfairness of it either. There must be a high school out there where they STP of the math and science departments instead. Oh, suck the pull of the math and science departments instead. Being required to use someone else's material is taking performance to the lowest common denominator as well. I've done Toastmasters, which is really learning how to do public speaking, no focus on liquor or grilled bread products at all, and for competitions you are required to use original material, although for fun and in a club event you could borrow from others. I once did Three Dead Trolls in a Baggies Welcome to the Internet Help Desk with my old club and nailed it. It feels so good when it works. Which reminds me, Carrie, old Toastmasters trick for ums and ahs, a cardinal sin. Get a jar and find yourself a nickel for every ah and pregnant pause, like a swear jar. Have someone impartial count for you and set a limit of $1 per podcast. When you do this, you'll quickly get used to not using them when you are speaking extemporaneously, or as I sing, without any real notes. Well, thank you, Slightly D, for that. I don't know if we'd necessarily want to enforce something like that on this show because we already have too much other stuff. We basically had to whip together all of the content for this show just before we started recording, which is why this episode is short, or short-ish in a way. Anyway, let me play the voice comment we have from Devo Spice. So here it is.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, this is Devo Spice. Wanted to chime in on Carrie naming inanimate objects. I only have a couple things that I've named. One is my iPod Touch, which I now use when I perform on stage. I called that Gelmak the Destroyer, and I honestly don't know why. When I first hooked it up to my computer, it asked me to name it, and I did. So that was the first thing that popped into my head. The other thing I named was a external USB hard drive that I use to keep all my files on. That one is on the floor under my desk, like next to my computer where it gets all dusty and dirty down there, so I call that one Fuzz Bucket. Other than that, I don't think I've named any other inanimate objects. But the other thing I wanted to chime in on, you know, I was going to call in weeks ago and I kept forgetting. I apologize for the lateness of these comments, but I wanted to chime in on the animated crushes that you guys were talking on, you know, animated characters you've had crushes on. My big crush was on Ariel from The Little Mermaid. All I can say is Ursula gave her some damn fine legs. And the other thing was Farscape. I was a big fan of Farscape. The thing with Farscape is it's the first show I've ever seen where it took effort to watch and it was totally worth it. You really have to make an effort to watch that show. You really have to pay close attention, but it's so worth it. So that's all. Later.
All right. Thank you, Devo Spice. Yeah, it's now that we're heading into summer, no new television shows, Desolation Land. Maybe I'll take that up after I get done watching some other shows that I'm currently rewatching and taking notes on for the purposes of creating new songs for my new album. So who knows, maybe in August I'll get around to giving that show a shot or something. And yes, Ariel, I'm down with you on those thoughts. or down with you. I agree with you. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway,
Anything else we got to do for this show? Just want to remind people. Oh, we had an iTunes comment. I don't have it in front of me, so I forgot the person who did it. I believe his name was Rick, who basically gave us 4 stars, said he liked the show, but he felt it was too long, that we should edit it down to about an hour. And I appreciate the 4 stars and that you're listening and that you like it, but this show exists because Carrie and I have figured out a way to do it in a way that fits into her and my schedule, and neither of us have the time to edit anything down. So it's kind of a situation where this show is what it is. We do try to be conscious of the time and not ramble on too long, but it's, you know, it's just the way it is. For us, a 90-minute show is a short episode. So I hope you'll continue to listen to us, and maybe if it's better for you, just, you know, listen to the first half one day and the second half another day, or something to that effect. But thank you for the comment. So if you want to leave us an iTunes review, please go do so. Or if you want to leave us a comment that we'll read on the air, you can do so at badreport.com, badreport.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that by dialing 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. 916-LUKESKI, leave us a voicemail, just like Devo Spice did. And, that's about it for the episode. So, we're going to go out on the most logical song to go out on episode 42. So, thanks for listening, and we will see you all in about a week and a half at this point or something. This is Luke Ski on behalf of Carrie Dalby and Bad Rapport saying...
So long and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all the day. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders and
listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I've been talking to the ship's computer.
And?
It hates me.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKESKI.